Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Ghirelli, Italy's premier rosary designer, creates beautiful heirloom quality rosaries for every season and celebration. Hundreds of unique rosaries honoring Jesus, Mary, and the saints await you at Ghirelli.com. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living healthcare fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Sunday will never be the same. That is the title of Don Eden Goldstein's brand new book from Catholic Answers Press. It's a rock and roll journalist. It's her memoir of opening her ears to God. It's kind of a different turn for Catholic Answers Press. We usually publish a certain kind of book, and this is a more narrative book than we usually publish. And I don't know if we've ever published a memoir before. We may have, but
you published Cardinal Newman's memoir.
Oh, well, Cardinal Newman, I mean, is of a living person, okay?
So, he's alive. He's a saint. He's alive in heaven.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. That is Don Eden Goldstein, a theologian as well, a doctor in theology, explaining to me how the resurrection – or no, how life after death works. But she wasn't always a theologian. She wasn't always a Catholic. She wasn't always a Christian. She wasn't even always an agnostic secularist. She was. She came into this world to a Jewish family, was bat mitzvahed in the Jewish faith, became a rock and roller. As a matter of fact, you went to college in New York City, I believe. But you went there because you wanted to be close to a certain kind of rock and roll scene in New York.
That's absolutely right. Yes,
and that worked out for you. You because you have this talent as a writer. So you start by transcribing, if I'm not wrong, interview, and then and you move into writing. I suppose it's interesting. It must have been a benefit in a certain way that the kind of music that you were attracted to was a small world at that time. It wasn't like you were trying to break into writing about IBM or something. You were writing about something that you loved, that was precious to you, but was also very local.
Yes, that's right. It was a time when one really could be a big fish in a small pond. I think it's very hard for people nowadays to imagine what it was like to be a fan of independent label music, even before people were really using the word indie to describe indie labels. I think it's hard for people to understand what it was like to be a fan of that music back when there weren't websites and social media sites to have these little niches where you could be into your particular subgroup of music, but where if you were into something that was underground, music that was not played on the radio, you had to read fanzines to learn about what was going on. And fanzines were homemade magazines at a time before computers, where people had to buy rub-off letters that you used a pencil to rub off to make headlines. And you had to actually use a typewriter to create these fanzines.
Isn't that great? So entrepreneurial and ingenious the way people did it. Okay, so that's how you started writing.
Yes, it is. I started writing for fanzines, and I remember the thrill when I would go to a nightclub and someone would say, I saw your interview with the Fleshtones in the bar or something like that.
Yeah, that's what wonderful validation for a young person. So you're going to you're going to college, and then on the weekends, this detail in your book, and this is one of the great things that any very fine writer will do, will provide these details. But this is one I'm not sure how I feel about. You would put on white lipstick, and was that was that the look at the time, or what was that about?
And I learned at some point that white lipstick is supposed to be blended with other colors, But, you know, at first, I just saw photos of models from the 60s with the raccoon eyes and the false eyelashes and the actual white lipstick.
Right.
And I thought, well, that's a look. And, you know, unfortunately, I also had a silver lipstick that I absolutely loved. And now there are videos of me on YouTube where I interview rock bands such as Guided by Voices, where I'm wearing the silver lipstick, and it looks awful. And the funny thing is that there
Yeah, you're the only person who looked awful in the 80s. Everyone else looked great.
Oh, gosh. Well, this was actually 2000, and I was still wearing silver lipstick. But, and the funny thing is that I was doing that Manhattan Cable video show for many years, and you'd think that at some point over a span of like 5-10 years, I would have figured out not to wear silver lipstick. But to me, it was the mod look, and that was the look that I wanted, the mod 60s look.
So tell us about some of the people that you interviewed and the impression that that left on you and how that was also an education for you.
It was very much an education. Well, I'll tell you one of the stories that I tell in Sunday Will Never Be the Same about this songwriter whose music I loved named John Carter. And among the songs he wrote that you and other listeners might know is Herman's Hermits, Can't You Hear My Heartbeat? A song that was a one-hit wonder in the United States by a group called The Music Explosion from Ohio. The song was called Little Bit of Soul. You'd recognize, you know, the guitar intro, dun 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 dun, dun 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 dun.
Oh yeah, yes, yeah.
So there was a time when I was going to London, and one of the things I was going to do there was meet this songwriter, John Carter, and a friend of mine, who was not, you know, I didn't know him to be particularly a Christian. He was a fellow rock fan. He said, well, you know that Little Bit of Soul is a Christian song. And I said, oh, come on. You know, it's a groovy mod garage dance number.
Yeah.
That's not a Christian song. That's not how Christian songs sound. And he said, no, but there's this line you got to make like you're on your knees and pray, and then a little bit of soul will come your way. And I said, oh, no, that's just some you know, reference to a dance move where you get on your knees. I don't know. So then I actually met John Carter, and John Carter was, you know, typical Englishman, you know, fairly secular. And so I was almost, you know, embarrassed. I was embarrassed to say this to him, but just so that I could tell my friend Scott back home that I had mentioned this, and proved to Scott, you know, from the horse's mouth, so to speak, that he was wrong. I said to John Carter, you want to know something crazy? My friend Scott back home says that Little Bit of Soul is a Christian song. And he said, oh, yes, it is. I was like, you're putting me on. You're like, what is this, April Fool's Day? Come on. And he said, no, really. And it turned out that he was working with a lyricist named Ken Lewis, who was Christian. And Ken Lewis wrote the lyrics to Little Bit of Soul as an experiment to see if he could get an explicitly Christian song into the pop charts. And so now all those lyrics make sense. You know, when you're feeling low and the fish won't bite, you need a little bit of soul to put you right. All those lyrics are from the gospel. I mean, basically expressions of the gospel. So that was, you know, one of those, you know, moments for me where I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back, I can see that was God trying to break through.
Isn't that something a Christian kind of as an infiltrator into the secular pop. You even see an artist like Mel Gibson in a certain way. It's the same thing. It's an infiltration because they're presenting something that I don't know about Gibson. I mean, it's more explicit in his case, I guess. But in this case, the beauty of the gospel is people will recognize it as long as you don't present it as the gospel, because they've already decided that's not for me.
Right, right.
We got a bunch of people who want to talk to you, Don. Let me mention again Don's brand new book, a memoir, Sunday Will Never Be the Same, A Rock and Roll Journalist Opens Her Ears to God. It's available now from Catholic Answers Press. And anybody who gets through this hour, if you just hang on the line and give us your address, we'll send you a free copy of Don's book because, you know, we want to cheat her out of the royalties. Eddie in Cincinnati. Listening on Sacred Heart Radio, you are up first this hour with Don Eden Goldstein. Your question, Eddie.
Hi, this is Eddie. Don, I was raised on mostly what you wrote about, like, that was all, you know, that was my MTV, you know, and into the 70s, past the Beatles and the rest of it, Zeppelin and U2, as you mentioned. But there was one artist that ran through, and he actually got the Nobel Prize for lyrics, and that was Dylan. About his seventh album, he put out Saved, okay? Yeah. So I don't think that was fake, you know, like a lot of these issues we're talking about, you know, but sort of hinting at God, you know.
So you're saying that Dylan became a Christian, and his seventh album, the name of the album was Saved?
Yes.
Okay.
It wasn't his seventh album, but yes, it was called Saved. He made three Christian albums.
Okay, and that happened out here on the West Coast, right? It was kind of the there's a thing out here called the Jesus Movement, which was born out of the hippie movement, and then now it's very stable in many ways. It's become kind of very common that there are these Christian churches that whose pastors were former hippies and all that. So that's kind of where Dylan got his exposure. If I'm
not
wrong.
Sure about that. Dylan was evangelized by members from a kind of a mega church in L.A. I wrote an article about it, which I don't remember the title, but I wrote it just, I think, last year. You can find it online if you just search for Don Eden Goldstein and Bob Dylan. I wrote it for the Los Angeles Archdiocese magazine, Angelus, and it's a review of the Dylan gospel box set that has the music, Eddie, that you're describing. And, you know, one of the points that is made in the liner notes of that box set, and that I certainly believe, is that Dylan was absolutely sincere. I think there were certain fans who just couldn't conceive of someone of Dylan's artistic, you know, caliber and intelligence being Christian. And those people claimed that he was faking. But he wasn't. And, you know, I think, and certainly, you know, if Bishop Robert Barron were on this show, I think he would agree that even though Dylan has left behind making explicitly Christian music, that he remains most definitely God-haunted, Christ-haunted. And contrary to what some people have said, he has not disavowed Christ. He has, you know, broken away from that particular church, but he's not denied the Christian faith that he expressed on those albums.
But I can tell you just about any album that came from the 60s or 70s, and now you're not the fame of the Beatles and the fame of the Rolling Stones. And still, these rock bands march on, and they won't. They're not going to change. They're certainly not going to start singing gospel, you know. But
well, the Rolling Stones have sung gospel on occasion.
Yeah.
I think you have to really, Eddie. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think that part of being Christian is always having hope for people's conversions. I mean, you know, forgive me. I don't want to be rude, but. But God forbid that when I was far from the Lord, if everybody was just saying, oh, well, Dawn's never going to change. She's never going to be Christian. If they then didn't pray for me, even if it seems hopeless. We have to keep praying for the conversion of the Rolling Stones, for the conversion of this Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr. You know, Paul comes from a Catholic family, so we want to pray him home. And so on. I mean, that's what being Christian is about. It's about, you know, and being a Catholic is all about knowing that God wills that everyone be saved. And as Catholics, we know that God wants us to cooperate with his will through prayer for that intention.
Eric, thank you very, very much for that call. I am sorry we'll have to leave it there because we got to take a break. Stay on the line, all those on the line. I know I've been making you wait. A lot of people want to talk to you now, Don. The book is Sunday Will Never Be the Same. The author is our guest this hour, Dawn Eden Goldstein. It's a memoir of how she came to the Christian faith and to the Catholic faith. In some ways, through her life as a rock journalist. So I want to read a little something to you, Dawn, and I want folks to know you can get the book right now at shop.catholic.com. As a matter of fact, you can get it for 15% off because everything there is 15% off right now if you just use the promo code SPRING19 when you go to shop.catholic.com. But Kathy wrote us this note. I just completed your book. This is to you, Dawn, and was hooked from the very beginning. I love the way you write and how you very gently told your story in all its sadness and craziness. I was a child teen of the 60s and early 70s and lover of rock and roll, but I also knew God growing up in a church that had a strong youth group and read my Bible daily. However, I was still deceived by the devil, taking me to my mid-20s to turn to the truth. I came into the church in my early 30s thanks to a devout Catholic grandmother-in-law who prayed for me daily once I married her grandson. I have begun sharing your book with friends and family. I would love to hear you speak, so please come to New Jersey, Atlantic County. God bless you, Kathy.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
It is. It's really beautiful. And, you know, I'm just grateful to know that the song it is a song, but it's first of all a book. That Sunday will never be the same. I'm grateful to know that it's making an impact on readers like Kathy, and that it's helping them, you know, in some way to see God's action of grace in their own lives. That's really why I wrote it.
Dawn Goldstein is our guest. Again, go to shop.catholic.com. Right now you can get the book Sunday Will Never Be the Same, or you can just call us. We're giving it away free. The lines are full, so you might not get in. Eric, again, thank you for that. That was Eddie. Sorry, Eddie. Thank you. Eric, we'll get to you next. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, everyone. This is country music artist Colin Ray. Do what I do and keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
We do our best to keep you, well, connected to all the events happening in our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, from Rome to back home here in the U.S. and around the globe. It's also our goal to help each and every listener like you take this beautiful faith of ours out into the public square with great ideas on making a difference through engaging the culture.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Tomorrow morning, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Sunday Will Never Be the Same. That's the brand new book from Dawn Eden Goldstein, our guest. Dawn is a writer of several books on to help folks who have faced the trauma of sexual abuse or other traumas. Give us the names of those two books, Dawn.
Sure. My Peace I Give You, Healing Sexual Wounds with the Help of the Saints, and Remembering God's Mercy, which is more generally for anyone seeking healing from pain from the past.
And now the memoir of Dawn's own life, which tells her own story. And there is a great sadness in it, as I guess any fully human life would have in it. And I wasn't sure about the word craziness that Kathy put in there, but I guess there is a little craziness in there as well. And a wonderful coming home story, about coming home to the Catholic faith as well. Sunday will never be the same. Let us go back to the phones for Dr. Goldstein. We go now to Eric in Cincinnati. Eric is listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Your question for Dawn.
Hi.
Yeah, I was. Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. I was curious just about your, being a convert coming to the Catholic Church. It seems like you very much have found your vocation in many ways. I didn't know how that process was, if you had any, if there was anything particular you could share or even advice. I've been a Catholic myself for close to eight years now, coming up to Easter. And I still don't always feel like I necessarily, I don't know, I go to Mass, but that's it. You know, and I know I have certain limitations as far as my personal life, family. I'm a single dad. I have full custody only recently.
But you still feel, Eric, like you're searching for your vocation.
Correct.
Okay.
And we're, sometimes wanting to do more than just show up at Mass. And,
Yeah. Dawn, any insights?
Sure. Well, first of all, again, welcome home. And thank you for all you do as a single dad. I mean, you know, that's very important. And that really is a vocation when you're a parent of children. As far as going deeper into the faith, what helped me was reading and certainly, some of the great reading is from the apologetics that Catholic Answers has. I was just looking at the Amazon reviews for Why We're Catholic by Trent Horn, and I was seeing that a lot of readers, they say that helped them to understand a lot of things about their own Catholic faith that they never understood before. For me, I love spiritual reading, so I love anything by Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, anything at all. Well, maybe except for Footprints in the Sand, but I bet if I read that, I'd love that too. But really, I mean, Fulton Sheen wrote books like Peace of Soul, P-E-A-C-E of Soul, which I highly recommend. He wrote a booklet that you can easily find called Calvary and the Mass. And his writing is spiritually rich, also very accessible. I can tell you, as someone who's written about theology and tried to write popular books, that if I'm trying to write something and then I read something by Fulton J. Sheen, on the one hand, it inspires me because his writing is so beautiful. But on the other hand, it can lead me to despair, just wanting to hang up my pen because for me, I don't know how to say things without going into kind of layers of metacritical analysis, whereas Fulton Sheen uses language that's as simple as the gospel and so very powerful. Now, other ways to go deeper into the faith, my mother listens to the audio rosary. If you go to YouTube and you look at the different YouTube recordings of rosaries and also the Divine Mercy Chaplet, some of them are very beautiful. There's also the Magnificat magazine, which also has an app, I believe, or an online version, and that has readings for daily prayer. So different things. Another thing that helps me is just going to a cemetery once a week and praying the rosary for the holy souls, because we believe that we on earth are united with those who are waiting to get into heaven, and that since they can't pray for themselves, they need our prayers. And that's an inspiring thing that enriches my faith life. So do any of those things help?
Yeah, I'll give them a shot. I do have my own devotions, or I flip around and try different devotions, but sometimes, and I don't know if it's just because of my particular slant of you know, a Protestant sect I had come from, but I feel like as far as like what I'm contributing, you know, like I can take in knowledge and maybe it's just where, you know, I feel like because prayers aren't in a visible action and maybe
oh,
that
no,
has
prayers
more
are spiritual works of mercy. Please, when you're off the line, read about the spiritual works of mercy. They're genuine works. Dorothy Day and talked about them. And she's someone worth reading about, too, that who might inspire you.
If I may just offer, Dawn, as a father, too, and now in my 50s, that there is a time when you can feel in the raising of children like I'm just not doing enough. I'm not and but you have that vocation for then. Free time does come where you can devote yourself more to prayer or to sitting with Christ in the Eucharist or doing other works, that kind of thing. So parenting is a uniquely kind of a time vortex, or I don't know what the right word is, and you just have to be patient with yourself. So I don't want to insert myself too much, but I do have that experience as a father that it does change.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks, Eric. Let us go to Rylene in San Jose, California, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Rylene, your question or comment for Dawn Eden Goldstein.
Hi, Rylene.
Hi, Dawn. I don't know if you remember me, but I have
I sure do. I only know one Rylene in the whole world, and I admire you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. This is kind of a personal question. Pardon my laryngitis. But I have met you, and my impression of you is that you're a pretty darn shy person. And maybe that impression is wrong, but...
Rylene, I apologize to you. I did not time it very well. We're going to take a quick break. Rylene, will you hold on and just finish that thought with Dawn when we come back?
Sure, of course.
Oh, okay, thank you very much. Dawn Eden Goldstein is our guest. Her brand new memoir, Sunday Will Never Be the Same, is available now from Catholic Answers Press. Right back with more after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our on-fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rylene from San Jose, I had to cut her off and I apologize for that. She's listening on the Catholic Answers app, which, by the way,
you can download onto your phone. Go ahead and download that Catholic Answers app. You can get us wherever you go. Our guest is Dawn Eden Goldstein. Her book, Sunday Will Never Be the Same. And Rylene, you were just in the middle of a conversation with Dawn, and I had to cut you off. Go ahead and finish.
Yeah, sure. So I guess my impression of you, Dawn, is that you're a shy person, and it's hard, and I might be wrong about that, right? But, so tell me if I am, but I just have a hard time picturing you overcoming that shyness and inserting yourself into the rock and roll world as, you know, somebody who's, I guess I envision it as kind of having to push your way into the backstage and get, you know, 10 minutes with a star or something like that. So how did you, if you are shy, how did you overcome that to kind of follow your dream in this area?
That's a wonderful question, Riley. And the answer is, yes, I am shy, but I didn't know that I was shy until late in adulthood. I always thought that I was an exhibitionist and an extrovert. It wasn't until I started to learn about the actual definition of introvert versus extrovert that I realized that, yes, I am shy. And so I think that the sort of aggressiveness with which I did, you know, go backstage and so on was just that if you want something badly enough, you do it even if it goes against your, it takes you out of your comfort zone. So, yeah, I am a very sensitive person and I, you know, get hurt easily. But there are a few things that, you know, bother me more than thinking, well, you know, what if I had made that extra effort and which I didn't make, you know, would something have happened differently? So I tend to feel like I've got to make every effort to achieve or, you know, the things that I want to achieve, you know, rather than have those regrets. And of course, you know, part of the journey of a lifetime now for me as a Catholic is learning, you know, what Pope Francis wisely speaks about discernment in terms of learning, you know, what things are actually worth striving after to achieve and what things should one refrain from, you know, trying to push one's way through. So thank you for, it's a great question.
Oh, well, so I have to say, so that's great. It seems like a great rule for life. You know, if you want something badly enough, you'll push through it while
you're... That's what my mother told me. My mother told me from when I was a child, two things she said that that influenced me a lot. The first one was if you want something, ask for it. So that became a kind of a mantra. You know, if I want the interview with this musician, I have to ask for the interview with this musician and all kinds of other things. Another thing she said to me, which, you know, sounds kind of, you know, a bit gross, but one can still say it on a family radio station, is spit doesn't fall from the cellar. And the context is that as a child, I used to complain about mistreatment at the hands of teachers or principals or what have you, because I was smart and I was cocky and I also had certain, you know, psychological problems that I now understand from the wounds of abuse that I didn't understand then. But I would complain to Mom about my teachers and she would say, spit doesn't fall from the cellar, meaning you go through school and you get your education and you get to a certain place of authority and then you can affect positive change. You know, until or unless you do the hard work of working your way up to a position of authority and earning that authority as well. It's not about, you know, raw power, but it's about working hard for a positive goal. You know, until you can do that, you know, it doesn't help to complain. And I think that's, you know, within the context of a parent teaching godly morality, I think that can be a godly message.
For sure. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Riley.
Thank you so much. It's great hearing your voice. God bless you.
Again, Don Egan Goldstein, our guest this hour. We're talking about her brand new book for Catholic Answers Press, Sunday Will Never Be the Same, A Rock and Roll Journalist Opens Her Ears to God. You can get it right now at shop.catholic.com. And everybody who calls in this hour and gets on the air with Don is getting a free copy. Let's go to Ricky in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening on AM 1380. Ricky, you're...
Hi, Ricky.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Very well.
Doing well, thank you.
Good deal. And a related subject, I've kind of gotten, I guess, infatuated with going back and looking at old movies and TV shows that, you know, I saw as a kid but didn't appreciate things. Mm-hmm. And now I started seeing this trend in old shows, some of the old 40s and 50s movies, and then things like Gunsmoke and, you know, the Virginian, Big Valley, and all these things. I said, man, these people are writing like they're Catholic. And just coincidentally, a week or two ago, I think it was might have been on Al Cresta, there was someone talking about this Father Daniel Lard, who had written
yes.
the Code of Film Ethics
yes.
Back in the 20s and 30s that basically set out, you know, the rules and guidelines of how to portray people. And, you know, some people eventually found out subversively, you know, they found out that they felt like there was subversion going on, that here's a Catholic person writing, you know, a priest writing the code for, you know, the film industry, which was controlled by the Jewish people, and it was mostly being presented to the Protestant world. And it was just like the light bulb went on, and just it seemed like there's a big opportunity for someone to do some investigating on, you know, how that influenced the culture, as well as the actors and writers that were involved, and how all of that kind of, you know, permeated society.
Well, you know, it's an interesting topic. I would, you know, correct you, you know, one thing by saying that Hollywood has never been homogeneously run by Jewish people, you know, and you know, that we have to be kind of careful about talking about that, because there are some, and believe me, I'm not accusing you of this at all, but there are some anti-Semitic tropes that people use sometimes when speaking about Hollywood that can involve such generalization. So, you know, I'm sure that's not what you meant, but just wanted to say we have to be careful about our way of describing things. But what is interesting is that when Hollywood had to censor itself, it turned to a Jesuit priest, Father Daniel A. Lord, S.J. And the story behind that is that Congress, having cracked down on the comic book industry, then set its sights on the film industry. And actually, I could have my timing wrong. The comic book industry could have come later, but I think I've got it right. Hollywood, Congress was about to enact its own strictures upon Hollywood films to prevent them from being, you know, offensive and corrupting morals. And Hollywood much rather wanted to have its own self-censorship than to have state-imposed censorship. So since Father Daniel A. Lord had already had some Hollywood experience as a consultant to Cecil B. DeMille on King of Kings, Joseph Breen, who, if I remember correctly, was a Hollywood producer involved with the Motion Picture Association of America, basically commissioned Father Lord to write this code, which served Hollywood very, very well for many years until Eli Kazan's film Baby Doll and other Hollywood films pushed the envelope so hard that the code collapsed, and there was no longer a moral consensus among Americans in the 1960s to restore the code.
We will leave it there because I got to take a quick break. Don Egan Goldstein is our guest, and her book, Sunday Will Never Be the Same, from Catholic Answers Press, is available right now. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with more of your calls and questions for Don right after this.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
We
You need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Don Eden Goldstein, our guest, that a whole bunch of people want to talk to you, Don, so I'm just going to let them do that. But I will remind the listener, the occasion for having Don here with us is the publication of her memoir by the Catholic Answers Press. Sunday Will Never Be the Same. A rock and roll journalist opens her ears to God. One of the things when I first opened it up, one of my favorite things was each chapter. I don't know if you know about this, Don, but each chapter is named after a rock and roll song. Were you aware of that?
You don't know if I know about
that? Nah, I'm just teasing you. I know you knew it. Scott.
That's my book.
Scott in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are up next, Scott. Your question for Don Eden Goldstein.
Hi, Dr. Goldstein. My question is, it sounds like from what I heard, you used to be an atheist. So my question
an agnostic.
Before you became a Christian, did you have inner peace? And now that you are a Christian, do you have inner peace?
That's a great question. The first part of that question is very easy to answer in one word. No, I did not have inner peace. And in Sunday Will Never Be the Same, I talk about the wounds that I had, the longing, and how I sought God in things that were not God. Some of the things I sought God in had genuine beauty, like music, but they couldn't satisfy my desire for an infinite love. With respect to, do I have inner peace now? I would say yes and no. Yes, I have inner peace in that I'm not going anywhere beyond the church. I found Jesus Christ in his church, and so there's no longer any desire to go outside of my I don't want to just say membership because that sounds like it's rules-based, but there's no reason to go outside my life in the church as a member of the baptized and as one who receives the Eucharist in communion with other Catholics and through my baptism in communion with Christians throughout the world. And certainly I have greater peace emotionally, spiritually, psychologically than I did before I was a Catholic. With respect to the no, we're not supposed to be completely satisfied in this life. That's something you'll find in Augustine at the beginning of his Confessions, where he says, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And it's in Jesus' own Sermon on the Mount, where he says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So if we're not hungry in this life, if we're not thirsting, something's wrong. If you hear from a Christian who says that they've got such prosperity
that there's nothing more that they could want, run. Just run, because that is not Christianity. That's the what's called the prosperity gospel, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen to that.
So, So in that sense, no, I don't have inner peace, but I have a taste of the inner peace that is going to be fulfilled in the next life, and I believe that. Praise God.
Scott, does that answer satisfy you?
It sounds really good. Listen, when I tell people that I have, you know, I have the Lord, I say He gave me peace. Well, I'm working towards peace. I feel like I'm lying, but as a disciple of Christ, we're supposed to have peace. Period. I mean, we're supposed to. I'm working towards that, but like you say, if I don't have peace, I kind of feel embarrassed that I don't.
But but that is exactly Don's point. This world is not our home.
Yes, we're supposed to be restless while we're here, and you know where it says in the gospel, Jesus says forgive 70 times 7, and there are some people who interpret that as meaning that we may have to forgive 70 times 7 the same person in the same day, as often as we, you know, feel that grudge, we forgive. Well, likewise with peace, Jesus says, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Well, when the world gives, the world says, here you go, run with it, just take it, okay, get gone, next. Whereas Jesus gives us his peace, and then we come back and we say, okay, Jesus, I need more peace. And he says, here's more peace. And then we come back and we say, okay, Jesus, that wasn't enough. I still need more peace, and so on. And that is the life of the Christian.
Scott, thank you very much for that call. I hope that was helpful to you. Sunday Will Never Be the Same is the name of the book. Don Eden Goldstein is our guest, and we go now to Joe in Columbus, South Carolina. Joe, your question for Don.
Hey, how y'all doing? Great show.
Doing well. Thank you.
Don, I wanted to ask you about the song Let It Be by Paul McCartney you were talking earlier. And my understanding of that song from him was that came about from a dream he had where his mother, who was, a Catholic midwife, spoke to him, but he doesn't consider it a direct reference to the Blessed Mother. But the song, to me, is so imbued with, you know, the title, Let It Be, is the fiat and the
The
whole imagery of Mary in the song. I was just kind of wondering what your take is, if maybe Mr. McCartney doesn't fully understand what was being communicated to him in sort of the muses of that song.
I agree completely. Paul McCartney tells the story, just like you said. I didn't realize his mother was a midwife. I did know that he came from a Catholic family, but I don't doubt you on that. It's just news to me. He told the story recently on the popular series Carpool Karaoke that one can find. It's a beautiful story, and I think that you've articulated it perfectly, where a song that has goodness in it can take on a life of its own beyond what the person may have intended. And who knows but that Paul McCartney may have been in some way channeling, you know, from his subconscious a memory of as a child hearing that gospel of Mary saying, be it done unto me according to thy word. And who knows too that maybe, you know, since he says he had that dream, we should believe him, but maybe also his mother Mary was giving him the wisdom of Mary and wanted to impart that to him.
I like to think that, and certainly like to. And he says he has no problem with people interpreting it as the Blessed Mother in a sense in that song. And so maybe there is the Catholic ethos has a way of sort of sneaking into things, and especially
yes,
if you've grown
yes.
up in that environment. But anyway, thank you for your reflection on that.
Joe,
thank
hope you enjoy
you.
The book. I hope you enjoy Sunday's. Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Don's book. Thank you so much for that call. Let's go to Sean in Sydney, Australia, just waking
Sean,
up.
Hello. Good morning.
G'day.
Hi, Sean.
Good morning to you. No, I just sort of thought I'd listen in because the question I've got relates to going to a Christopher West series of talks at World Youth Day back in 2008, where he's talking about music and looking at lyrics and comparing it to theology as a body questions and people, you know, looking for love and all that. Right?
Okay.
Yes, I was at that same World Youth Day. I remember hearing about that talk because I was speaking there too.
Oh, okay, awesome. So you've been down under?
Yes, yes, love it. I want to come back.
Oh, do it. But what I wanted to ask really is, to what extent do you see within the modern music industry a lot of artists looking for God as opposed to the devil? I mean, you know, you think of Australian rock bands, classic one that comes to mind is AC/DC, and one of their, you know, one of their trademark line songs is Highway to Hell, which is probably more theologically accurate than a lot of Christian worship music, I must say.
That's a good point.
right.
but it's like, to what extent do you actually see a lot of Christian art, sorry, not Christian artists, music artists in general looking for God rather than looking for the devil?
Well, I would say certainly if you listen to another great Australian band, the Bee Gees, you hear a lot of songs about looking for God, and it's interesting. I've heard from one source that they may have had some Catholicism in their background. It's hard to find that, but I did see that Robin Gibb, when he was dying, his wife brought a Catholic priest to his bedside, so he received
the
sacrament of the sick. Yes, you know, I think that with many bands, you hear a straining after something that is very beautiful, that seems just out of reach, and that's a universal feeling. And I think that whether people who write, you know, those songs express those feelings, know it or not, they are expressing in their way a longing for God.
Sean?
Yeah?
That's what you were referring to.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, because, yeah, and Christopher West in this particular talk is pulling out lots of examples from U2, from probably from the Beatles, from various other ones. I don't remember them all, but I just remember him talking down this concept. And, I definitely see that in my favorite band, which is also from San Diego, Switchfoot. But
Switchfoot.
I'm not that those guys are Christians.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, this is the condition of the modern world, though, isn't it, Don, that Sean is describing? The condition of the modern world is being stuck in the secular and longing for the divine.
Yes, that is. And that's really, you know, a major reason why I wrote Sunday Will Never Be the Same, because I feel that many people who are fans of pop music, of rock and roll, feel that their very appreciation of this music necessarily puts them outside the Christian world because they're not listening to Christian rock.
Right.
And I wanted to show how God's grace can reach us even through music that isn't explicitly Christian.
Never underestimate God's grace. That's bad policy, I think. Patrick, you are up next. Your question for Don Eden Goldstein.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Don. Shout out from St. Joseph Parish, Manhattan.
Okay. Nice. Hello. St. Joseph on 4th Street.
Yep. I think if you tell people the story of how you got fired from the New York Post, people will run out and buy your book. So let me get out of the way and let you tell the story.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I have to tell it in like 90 seconds, right? Because
yeah, you do. As a matter of fact, yeah.
The program. I was a convert to Protestant Christianity, church shopping, not happy in any one denomination, started to become convinced of the truth of the dignity of human life from conception to natural death. And I was looking at the New York Post and was given a story to copy edit that was not pro-life. And I made a change to it that made it pro-life. I was not authorized to make this change. I got caught. I apologized. And after I apologized, the reporter was just so furious at me that she started to print up
pages from my blog, The Dawn Patrol, where I was writing against Planned Parenthood. And once the Post realized that they had this quote-unquote, you know, radical right-wing anti-abortion conservative on their on their editorial staff, that was when the then editor-in-chief fired me. But that was also when God's grace entered my life in a miraculous way through the intercession of St. Maximilian Kolbe that led me to make the decision to become Catholic. So for any more, I'm afraid you'll have to read the copy of my memoir, Sunday Will Never Be the Same, that will be reaching you as a free gift for calling in. But thank you for remembering that. That was a that was a profoundly important time of my life.
Okay, great. I already own the book.
Oh, good for you, Patrick.
Gosh, you'll have one to give away. Thank you.
I'm so glad that Patrick asked about that, because I had forgotten that you actually the circumstances under which you departed. And it's a wonderful story. You radical, standing up for little babies. What kind of radical right-wing nonsense is that? Dawn Eden Goldstein, 2 hours. You're a hero. You did it. I really appreciate you doing 2 hours with us. I still feel like I got about a million questions I'd love to ask you. But let me just...
Have me on again.
Okay. All right. Nicely done. Right on the air where I can't say no. That's not really true. Sunday Will Never Be the Same is Dawn Eden Goldstein's wonderful new memoir. The subtitle, A Rock and Roll Journalist Opens Her Ears to God. She'll help you open yours to God as well. So don't miss out on your opportunity to get a copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same. Again, many, many thanks, Dawn. And we will do it again tomorrow. 2 hours of Open Forum. Jimmy Akin, Father John Trujillo. See you then, God willing.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.